Good morning.
Today's responsive reading is number 663. It doesn't have a page, so it's number 663, Confession of Christ. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before angels and of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this gathering. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here together to hear your words. Let us dedicate this day to you, Lord. Let us dedicate our lives to you, Lord, but specifically this day to stand and honor you, Lord, and to worship together. Be with our pastor this morning, Lord, as he delivers your message, and guide us through our walk, Lord, in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who is Jesus? I wanted to know what people in general say about Jesus. As a matter of fact, while I was preparing, I went back into my past and I remembered the trip around the world I took a long time ago. And I was a believer, I believed in Jesus Christ, I was a practicing Christian, and yet in my heart, deep in my heart, I wasn't sure about my faith, 100% sure. And so I went to Asia, in many Asian countries, and I watched other religious groups and other followers of other religions go to their temples and pray prayers and offer things. And then I went to Israel for at least a very short while, and then I went to Europe, Central Europe, and many European countries, and I saw those great cathedrals with a lot of paintings and beautiful stuff in there, and I asked the question, where is God? Is it in the temples that I saw? Is it in the Ten Commandments in Israel or among the Jewish people? Where is God? Is God in Germany, in many European countries? I went and I saw those huge buildings. Did I find Jesus? What is it that man everywhere is searching to find somewhere, something that will fulfill his yearning, his emptiness? Where is he? I see people, millions, some come on their faces worshiping God and praying, others coming on their knees, others standing up, others, and you ask the question, where is God? Who is Jesus? Almost everyone, when asked, has a comment, theory, opinion, or belief about the person of Jesus. Even when Jesus was on this earth with his disciples, people were asking and commenting about him and his name. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 16 we read, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? In other words, who do they say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. 2,000 years later, some know quite a bit about Jesus. Others think they know a lot about Jesus. But in reality, they know very little, if anything at all, about him. Sadly, many don't have a clue of who Jesus really is. The evidence of this is around us everywhere. Even among those who claim to be religious leaders and their organizations and people, there is a lot of confusion about the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? A brother commenting about Jesus in our culture wrote, and I quote, Jesus Christ has become hidden from sight in our culture. Even in front of churches, you don't see the gospel being proclaimed. Jesus is not being put in front of people on a daily basis. Even in some churches, Jesus has taken a back seat to events, socials, feel-good sermons, and great music. But why? Why so many argue that Jesus is this or that? Why so many are unsure who Jesus really is? I went on the website, on the internet, to see what people say Jesus is. And there was a long list of what people say about Jesus. There were some swear words, Jesus is, and other good words saying, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is God, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the door, Jesus, and all kinds of things. And everyone had a little angle to explain his or her understanding. But really, who is Jesus? If you ask some religious people in Asia, they will say, yes, we believe that, in Jesus. Jesus is, we're not sure, but Jesus, we believe, is one of our gods. That's wonderful. Then you ask another large, one of the largest religions, who is Jesus? They will tell you, oh, Jesus is a prophet, a lesser prophet than others, and yet they believe in Jesus, that he is there. Do you ask a Jewish person, who is Jesus? And not all. Many will say, well, he was a teacher, a good rabbi. Do you ask Christians, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is... you know what? There are more confused people among Christians, if you excuse me for putting it this way, than others. Oh, Jesus, I was having a haircut in a Greek barbershop. And they were talking about things, stuff. And I asked the question, who is Jesus? Oh, come on, Joseph. You know who Jesus is. Who is he? Jesus is... That's why we call Christians. Well, they knew that, right? And then some said, well, Jesus was the son of Mary. Okay? And so on, and that went on. No one stood up to say what the Bible says, what we believe, what the universe proclaims that Jesus is. Jesus is not a Jew. Jesus is not Armenian. Jesus is not Greek. Jesus is not the son of a human sperm made of, but Jesus is what we will hear now, next. Now, I'm sure that you would agree with me that the best person to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ himself. The Jews who wanted to know who he was, Jesus using human to the Jews that wanted to know who he is, Jesus using human terminologies and examples reveals himself to them. But his categoric and amazing statements about himself infuriate the rulers, and they attempted to mob him and kill him for telling the truth. The following are seven self-descriptions of Jesus Christ, of himself. First, he said, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. Now, most, if not all, religious leaders never said, I am God. They never said, I am the bread. They pointed to some God or someone or something or some theory. Here Jesus boldly says, I am the bread of life. Now this was a very bold claim. He actually said that he was the very Son of God. He had just finished saying to them, and I quote, the bread of God is he who comes from heaven and gives life to the world. He gives life only, he did not only give bread to the Jews, as Moses did in the desert. You know, for those who have not read the Bible or have are listening for the first time, a message, Christian message or a biblical message, the Jews traveled for 40 years. The Exodus, the coming out from Egypt to enter into the Promised Land, took them 40 years of traveling and suffering. And finally, most of them, minus two, all of them died in the desert. But the way God sustained them, he gave them food to eat, was by dropping. We would like that, right? For God to drop food now. But that was only for one occasion, and that was occasion to feed these people who were traveling. So manna was a small, low food. Let's take a moment to study the manna in the Old Testament as a type of picture of Jesus Christ. It came from heaven at night. Christ came from heaven when the world was in darkness. It was not defiled, soiled, dirty by the earth. Christ was sinless, untouched by sin. It was small, round, and white, somehow reminding us of Christ's humility, eternity, and purity. It was sweet to the taste, the Bible says. Christ is sweet to those who trust him. It was to be taken and eaten. Christ must be received personally to have any effect at all on the human being. It came as a free gift. Christ is the free gift of God to the world. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to follow a particular religion. You don't have to be part of an organization. You don't have to build hospitals. You don't have to do religious activities. And you don't even have to make a commitment to pay so much money or fees. It is a free gift to those who ask for it. There was enough for all. No one went hungry in the desert. Christ is sufficient for all. Regardless of what people may say, Christ is sufficient for every human being who turns to God, who turns to him and says, I'm lost, I need some direction, I need some hope, I've tried religion, I've tried meetings, I've tried everything, I've tried almost every religion. I have met people who said, I've been there, I've done that, and I still have no hope, I still have no peace, I don't see anything at all that attracts me to God. And yet, he is sufficient. God is sufficient to all those who come to him through Jesus Christ. If you did not pick it up in the desert, you walked on it. If you don't receive Christ, you reject Him and walk on Him. It was wilderness food. Christ is our food in this journey of heaven. I said, first was, He said, I am the bread of life, life giver. Number two, He claimed and He said, I am the light of the world. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, He actually claimed to be God. For God is light. In 1 John 1:5, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Darkness speaks of death, ignorance, and sin. Even though people make fun of darkness and sin and corruption, many movies today have such ugly names, satanic names, and then people enjoy seeing people murdered. And how can you say that there is joy in seeing people murdered and tortured and satanic powers and all that? It's because of the darkness we live in. Darkness speaks of death, ignorance, and sin. Light speaks of life, knowledge, holiness. The light exposes sin. John 3:20. All those who reject Christ will remain in darkness. In Matthew 25 we read, all those who reject Christ will remain in darkness. People say, I'm not in darkness. I am not lost. I have a religion. I am a Christian. My mother was a Christian. My grandfather was a priest or a pastor. And yet there is so much darkness in the heart. Regardless of what your descendants were, you are accountable for your own soul. You are accountable for your own sins. You are accountable for your own decision to invite God to come in your life and take over your life. Any Christian who says Christianity is the answer, meaning the Christian religion, is wrong. Because the Christian religion cannot save anyone. The Christian religion has not saved anyone and will not save anyone. What saves the human race is God Himself, who sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who came and said, ask and will be given. He said, I am the bread of life. And I am the life. Now, either Jesus was a lunatic, a liar, or He was, or He is who He said He is. But I have not seen a lunatic do the things that Jesus did. I have not as a lunatic perform miracles and change lives and bring joy and happiness and light and eternal life. So He must be God. He is God. Number three, He said, I am the door of the sheep. Christ is the door, the only door. This is the door that leads people out of their sinful life and old worldly religious systems and into the new life. Jesus is the door of salvation. And I've heard people say, oh, as long as you believe in something, as long as you believe in God or in God, as long as you live a clean and good life, God understands. Whoever God is, wherever God is, will. But the truth of the matter is, if we are so selective in our way of life, we choose the best possible telephone, the best possible computer. We narrow the reach of the frequencies. We want to have a specific frequency for something, and we know what is right and what is wrong, and we demand correctness and we demand perfection. And if we do all that, and we are human beings, only human beings made of water and flesh, You can imagine our Creator, our Sustainer, how He can define and how He can expect His creatures to obey and accept His definition of salvation. He doesn't say, well, as long as you believe in something. No. It's like saying, as long as you take a medication, doesn't matter what medication you take. You've got a headache, take this. You can't. You have to take a specific medication that I always wonder, how does that medication know where to go and do it? But they do. Scientists have found a way of dealing with it. And so not every medication is for everything. There are specific things. So God has His own conditions. Number four. He said, I am the door. First of all, let me go back to number three. I am the door of the sheep. There I was, and I've mentioned this before, I was in a conference, a workshop, and this theologian stood up and said, don't think that there is only one way to Christ. Don't think that there is only one narrow door for Christ. That's old thinking. All tunnels lead to God, like all roads lead to Rome. And I believe this gentleman did not have a clue who God was and how holy God is. There is only one door. Not the Protestant door, not the Baptist door, not the Christian door, not the Mohammedan door, not the religious door, not the Hindu door, not any door other than Christ, God Himself. And I believe we have to go to God, we have to go to Jesus and say, thank you for paying that price. I am lost. I've tried everything. Elizabeth Taylor just died. And we have that tract that we have distributed over 3-4 million pieces now, and speaks of Elizabeth Taylor saying, only God knows that I've tried men, and I've tried drinking, and I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I am very lonely. I believe, she said, the only solution is death, and death came. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd, gave his life on the cross as the great shepherd. He cares for the sheep. And the chief shepherd, he will come again in glory for his sheep and believers. You know, I was born in Greece, and during the summer months, I would go to my grandparents' factory. They used to make bricks. And there, it was in the middle of nowhere, actually. The mountain was right there, and the factory down here. And at night, I'll hear all the shepherds and their dogs going out, and the shepherds, the owners of these sheep, being so careful and being so protective, they would give their life, actually, to save the sheep they had. Well, that's how it is. He is the owner of the human race. God sent His Son because He loved all mankind, regardless of their color, the race, where they were born, what they did. God loved so much the world that He gave His one and only Son, the Bible said. For whosoever believes in Him, not to perish, but shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Number five says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies, He said. Because Jesus is the only life giver, He gives eternal life to those who believe in Him, so that death will not triumph over them. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if there is no resurrection, Apostle Paul says, and if there is no hope for eternal life and no hope for resurrection, then we are the most miserable people on this earth. For we get together and have worships and we sing and we pray and we read the Bible and others go to other religious groups and they do all these things. If there is no life after death, why waste our little time on this earth by playing this religious stuff? Churchianity, our religiosity, does not save anyone. Only the living God can save people. He said, I am the resurrection and life. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. John 14, verse 6. Jesus once again answered, and I quote, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, either he was telling the worst joke, or either he was telling the worst lie, or he is the only way to God. Jesus is not one way among many, but the way, the only way. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven to man by which we must be saved. No other name. I am the follower of this religious leader. I am the follower of that religious leader. I am the follower of that great preacher. I am the follower of that great evangelist. Are things that are taking us away from the truth, from focusing on God, and for as long as the devil keeps us busy playing this religion stuff, he is very happy. He doesn't care how many times you go to church. He doesn't care how many times people go to the temple. He doesn't care how many times they pray in the streets. He doesn't care. As long as he keeps them away from the living God, the one who gives life and takes life, and also the one who sent his son, only son, Jesus, to die, so he can give us eternal life. Either we believe in eternal life, either we believe in life after death, or we're wasting our time. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth, and I am the life, he said. Finally, he said, well, finally in today's message, he said, I am the true vine. Now, I come from a country, as I just described, vine, grapes are everywhere. I mean, you go into these fields and grapes, not only Greece, Italy, and even in Canada, here in Canada, vine. They grow, and we have in our house some vine. And they just go everywhere. You have to cut them. And they are life-giving things, actually, to have around. Some Greeks and others collect the leaves and make those dolmades. And it's very useful. So he said, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true life-giving vine. Apart from him, we are as good as dead. A branch abides in a vine by drawing all its life and nourishment from the vine. So we abide in Christ by spending time in prayer, reading and obeying his word, fellowshipping with his people, and being continually conscious of our union with Christ. The only way believers can bear fruit in Christ or of Christ-like character is by remaining in Christ. John 15 verses 5, 6 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. These seven I Ams speak of his deity. Jesus is God. God's name is I Am. He said, I am, and Jesus kept saying, I am, I am, I am. And as we read the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we clearly can see that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God who came to save the world, cosmos. Cosmos is people, it's not the universe or the earth, but human beings, the human race, us. The birth, life, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest event in the human history. The question, though, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And in closing, let me quote a person that you wouldn't think I'd be quoting. Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon said about Christ. What Napoleon said about Christ is generally accepted as a genuine word of Napoleon. And he said, I know man. And I tell you, Jesus is not a man. He commands us to believe and gives no other reason than his awful word, I am God. Philosophers try to solve the mystery of the universe by their empty dissertations. Fools. They are like the infant who cries to have the moon for a plaything. He continues, Christ never hesitates. He speaks with authority. His religion is a mystery. But it subsists by its own force. He seeks and absolutely requires the love of man, the most difficult thing in the world to obtain. Alexander, Caesar, Hannibal conquered the world, but had no friends. I myself, Napoleon, perhaps the only person of my day who loves Alexander, Caesar, and Hannibal. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires. But upon what force? Jesus founded his empire on love. And this hour, millions would die for him. I myself have inspired multitudes with such affection that they would die for me, Napoleon continues. But my presence was necessary. Now that I am in St. Helena, where are my friends? I am forgotten. Soon to return to the earth, to become food for the worms. What an abyss, he continues, between my misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ, who is proclaimed, loved, adored, and which is extending over all the earth. Is this death? I tell you, the death of Christ is the death of a God. I tell you, Jesus Christ is God. Now, you may say, well, Napoleon was crazy. I don't care what you say. It's what he said about what he thought Jesus was. At his time, at that moment of history, he was very powerful. And yet, he was only powerful because of force. Jesus came, loved, and died on the cross. You would have thought that star, that light, was finished when he died on the cross, and any religion like that should have disappeared. And yet, how can God disappear from the universe, from us, from our lives? You can't kill God. You can turn your back to God. You can walk away from God. You can curse God. You can argue with God. You can swear. You can do anything. You can pretend He is not there. But He is there. You cannot move away from God. You can only go toward God and find mercy and help. Who is Jesus? I don't know whether you have answered that question to yourself. Is Jesus the religious leader of Christianity? If that's all it is, He is for you. I feel sorry. Because He is not the leader of Christianity. He is Christ. He is God. And the word Christianity or the Christian religion, He did not come up with that name. People start calling Him and His disciples the people of the way. He is the only way. And only through Christ. You either accept Him or reject Him. You either take, like you had to take, they had to take the manna and eat it. So you must invite Him in your life and make Him part of your life to be able to know the effects of His presence. Anyone who has not experienced Christ, anyone who has not invited Him in his or her life will not know the changes and the power that there is in the presence of Christ in your life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much. We thank You for being with us. Thank You for enabling us to have fellowship. And yet, Lord, our aim was not and is not to have only a good time and fellowship, which is very good, and yet that's not our aim. Our aim is to connect with You, to hear from You, to feel Your touch in our daily lives. You have come to this world, Lord, to save, to mend lives, to save lives. You are the Creator and Sustainer of everyone and everything. We bow our heads and we honor You and ask You to touch each one of us today. While we are preparing for, in remembrance of Your death on the cross, Lord, help us to prepare our hearts and minds so we can feel Your presence. In Your blessed name I pray, Amen.